Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And all I can say is, it's a good word. Always it's a good word. God's word is always good. There's no such thing as a bad word from God. Hallelujah. And the word that God, that what God put on my heart this morning is just ask. Just ask. And I thought, wow, just ask God. You know, but I added the just ask God because God asked, told me, just ask. Do you have a just ask in your spirit today? When I woke up this morning, I was like, Lord, I'm having some issues with my breathing, and I need some help. And I heard, just ask. Just ask. God knows what we need and when we need it. He knows that we need breath in our body. He knows I can't do this without the breath that God gives me. Hallelujah. I have to sing this morning. And I had a really difficult time on Thursday singing. But God said, I got you. You know, if you are not, do not have a church home and are looking for a service this morning, I will be preaching today at Table of Life Ministries at 11 o'clock. And the word that God gave me for this morning's sermon is, I got you. You know, I had all these other, you know how you get your little message all typed up, you pray about it and you fast about it and you think you got it going on and then God switches it on you. That's what happened early this morning. God switched it on me. And all I heard was, I got you. God's got us. But we have got to ask God for what we want. You know, on Friday, we were not able to finish our Old Testament word. We were going into the book of Samuel. And so we are going to have Samuel word this morning. As well, if God permits, we'll go back and do our New Testament word, which is Luke, starting in Luke chapter 19. We'll be in Luke chapter 19. Actually, no, Luke chapter 20. We'll be in Luke 20. Luke chapter 20. And to Luke chapter, actually all Luke chapter 20 today, and Luke chapter 21. So Luke chapter 20 through Luke 21 verses 1 through 19 is what we'll be in the New Testament, where we've got all of our Psalms were read on Friday. So let's get into our Samuel words this morning. But just as an overview, one more time, what are we going to learn in 1 Samuel? So let's do our little, I know your Bible. Remember, y'all know I love this little book. I talk about it every time we go into a new chapter. I know when you go into a new chapter, it's like, okay, here she comes with a little book. I am, I can't help myself. And it's like all 66 books explained and applied. Know your Bible. Because you're supposed to do what? Have your Bible. You know, wherever you go, your little arsenal should be with you at all times. You should have a Bible in your car. You should have a Bible in your book bag. You should have a Bible in your purse if you got one. It can be on your phone. A Bible, wherever you go, a Bible needs to be somewhere with you. You know, I got my Bible on my phone. Actually, I got a couple Bibles, maybe three Bibles, on my phone. And I'm going to tell you, you never know when you got to pull a word. God is, he'll take you right where you need to go. just pull the word. I need this. Lord, I need da da da. And then you go and you type it in Bible Gateway. Ask them from the body. It's going to take you where you need to go to the scripture. What do you say, Lord, I need a word about, Lord, I closed the womb. Ooh, what, Lord, I need a word. First Samuel, verses 1 through 5. You know, come on now. God will give you what you need when you need it, but you got to have your word with you because you stand on that word. You never know when you got to pull it out. That's your weapon of choice. You know, folks always got their little whatever. Your weapon of choice as men and women of God is your Bible, whether it's on your phone, whether it's in your purse, whether it's in your car, whether it's a physical Bible, a computer Bible, a phone Bible, whatever kind of Bible, you need to have a Bible with you at all times. That's all I'm saying. But anyway, let's get back to 1 Samuel. And this is what it says. Not stated, Jeff was likely involved, though some of the history of 1 Samuel occurs after the prophet's death. Because we know when Saul goes to the Median and all of that stuff, that's after the death of Samuel. But then it goes on to tell us approximately, this was written in approximately 11 to 1000 B.C., meaning 1,000 to 1,100 years before Christ. In 10 words or less, Israel's 12 tribes unite under a king. But this is where we're going to be coming from this morning. We're going to be talking about Hannah. And it says, details, please. And it says, an infertile woman, Hannah, begs God for a son, promising to return him to the Lord's service. Samuel is born and soon sent to the temple to serve under the aging priest Eli. Upon Eli's death, Samuel serves as judge or deliverer of Israel, subduing the nation's fierce enemy, the Philistines. As Samuel ages, Israel's tribal leaders reject his sinful sons, and I'm sorry, as Samuel ages, and that's not right, that should be as Eli ages, Israel's tribal leaders reject his sinful sons and ask for a king. Samuel warns that a king will tax the people into service, but they insist. And God tells Samuel to anoint nobly tall and handsome Saul. Because Saul looks kingly, y'all know. As Israel's first ruler, King Saul starts well but begins making poor choices. And when he offers a sacrifice to God, a job reserved for priests, Samuel tells Saul that he will be replaced. Saul's successor will be a shepherd named David, who with God's help kills a giant Philistine warrior named Goliath and becomes Israel's hero. The jealous king seeks to kill David at every time. Come on, y'all. Who runs for his life. David rejects opportunities to kill Saul himself, saying, I would not stretch forth my hand against the king up anointed. 26 and 23 of 1 Samuel, chapter 26, verse 23. At the end of 1 Samuel, Saul dies, battling the Philistines, making way for David to become the official king. We know he's already king because he's already been anointed and appointed and in place and placed by God. But we also understand that Saul wasn't giving up lightly, okay? It had to be in death that he gave up that kingship. And there's some quotables from 1 Samuel. The Lord said unto Samuel, they have not rejected me, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. And every time I read that, it just does something to my spirit. It's like this knife goes through your heart when you hear it. It's almost like a dejected God saying, you have not rejected anything of the world, but you have rejected me. Well, we don't go to God for whatever our issues are. We are rejecting God. If I take it to the phone and not to the throne, I am rejecting God. We got to sit down and give every situation where it belongs to God. God knows all your problems. God knows everything. We got to give it to God. And it goes on to say, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams. we all know, again, that comes from verse chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, where Saul decided, oh, well, Samuel's taking too long. And, you know, I got things to do. I don't have time to be waiting on him. I can do this myself. Okie doke. You did it yourself and lost your kingdom. We cannot do it ourselves. We got to listen to God. And then it goes on and says, then said David to the Philistine Goliath, thou comest to me with a sword, a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. David's like, I don't need all that stuff. I got my sling, I got my pebbles, and I'm taking you down. You know, I'm just being, you know, this is me talking. David didn't say all that. I said that. But, you know, it's a feeling that David had to tell Goliath who he belonged to. He's like, I don't know about you, but I belong to the Most High. You know, you got all your little stuff, but I don't need all of that because I got God. Come on. As it said, God got us, dummy. And all you got to do is ask. David went out, and he was asking, and he knew that God had him covered. And he didn't need all of that extra stuff because he was covered by the blood of Jesus because he, again, an ancestor of Christ. He had the Jesus had his blood. Hallelujah. The blood, it was working even back then. Unique and unusual. The future king Saul is a donkey herder, chapter 9, verse 5, who tries to hide from his own coronation, chapter 10, verse starting verse 21. As King Saul breaks his own law by asking a medium, call up the spirit of the dead Samuel, chapter 28. And we know that when I talked about the fact that some parts of Samuel were written after his death, that was one of them. So what selfish choices, such as the Israelites' request for a king and Saul's decision to offer a sacrifice he had no business making, can have heavy, even tragic consequences. So be careful what you ask for. You might get it. But the one thing we can do is take anything to the throne. Take anything we have going on to God and watch God work in your life. Let us pray, Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning, lifting up the name of Jesus, asking you to increase as we decrease, Lord God. Asking that this word, Lord God, that is coming from my mouth, that it be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For, Lord God, you are my strength and redeemer. You are my hope. You are my present help. You are my absolute everything, God. And I've given this word to you, asking you, Lord, to give me breath in my body, to speak your word, to speak what you say, to do what you say do, and to go where you say go. In the name of Jesus, Father God, I thank you for this day, that you have given us an opportunity for do-over, to be better today than we were yesterday. Lord God, let your light shine on all of your children as we walk into your houses, oh God. Let your houses be filled with the heavenly angels. Let your houses be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let your houses be filled with the word of God. Lord God, guide your people to the houses of God that they should be attending, oh God. I ask you to watch over those that are in need, oh God. I ask you to watch over those that are in lack, oh God. I ask you to watch over those that just need a word from you, that they will walk into the house of God and say, what must I do to be saved? Father God, I pray salvation over your children. I pray salvation over this planet. I ask you, Lord God, to watch over those that are helpless and hopeless in Ukraine, who feel like that you have abandoned them, Lord, but we know that you have not, that you are with them wherever they're going. Lord, bless them and watch over them. And Lord, when it is your will, please end this awful conflict and let not one more child, one more woman be raped and molested, one more child be hurt or murdered. Lord God, I ask you to put your hedges of protection around your people, Lord God, all over this planet, that are in dire straits. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We read chapter 1 of 1 Samuel on Friday, but I'm going to give a quick overview, and we're going to start in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel. And the overview is Hannah asking in faith. And it says, Hannah is an excellent biblical example of asking in faith. She had married a man named Elkanah, and so had someone else. Through the years, Elkanah's second wife, Manaiah, bore several sons and daughters to him while Hannah remained barren. Hannah longed for a baby of her own. She wanted to be a mom. Finally, one year, Hannah went to the doorway of the temple and wept and prayed to the Lord in great anguish, asking for a son and vowing to give him to the Lord. The Lord heard Hannah's request and answered it. 9 months later, she bore a son named Samuel, who grew up to become the prophet and judge of all Israel. Would Samuel have been born if Hannah had not asked God to give her a son? The Bible seems to answer no. Samuel appeared on the scene in direct response to Hannah's heartfelt request. Hannah finally did what she needed to do. She asked God. She asked God for a son. And then as we continue, it goes on to tell us, you know, some life lessons from 1 Samuel chapter 1. Because the Lord had closed the womb. The Lord closed Hannah's womb, not Satan, not an accident, not nature. He is sovereign, and he does according to his will. Daniel 4:35. God used Hannah's grief to bring forth Samuel and gave her great joy. Hannah faced a battle she could not win on her own. When she finally fought that battle on her knees, she won a great victory. So can we. Are you fighting your battles on your knees today? Are you asking God for breath in your body? Are you asking God for healing of your womb? Are you asking God for whatever it is you need? Are you asking God? Well, I say this, ask God and watch him work. 1 Samuel 1:18, the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Because we know all through chapter 1, Benaiah was a mess. She had a Leah moment in her spirit where she just thought, oh, I got kids, I don't know about you. Yeah, just hateful. And I'm sure it was because she knew that her husband loved his wife, his first wife, who did not give him children, but she gave him her love. And he loved her. He didn't care if she had children or not. He still gave her double for her trouble. Come on now. And it goes on to tell us, Hannah left behind her grief, not when her circumstances changed. They hadn't. But after she poured out her soul to the Lord because of her grief, she connected with the Lord on a level she had never known. We got to have that Holy Spirit moment where we connect with God on our knees. Watch God work when you cry out with whatever the situation is. When you give it to God, God handles it, changes the course of whatever it is you're going through. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1, I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. We can smile at our enemies when we remember that we serve a God who takes great delight in saving and redeeming us, when we rejoice in the Lord and not merely in his blessings. Come on now. We find a joy known nowhere else. If you are a believer in Christ, the Lord promises to guard your feet, to give you direction, counsel, guidance, and protection on the life road ahead of you. Hallelujah. I thank God for his grace that he gave us his son, that we will have eternal life one day. Hallelujah. I pray daily, Lord, increase as I decrease. Because we all know we are fallible and we are sinful. But God, into our words. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart, we just read that, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exhausted because, you know, she had that baby. She had that baby, and she took him to Eli. You know, let's go over here to verse number 24, chapter 1, to get everything in context. Actually, we'll go to chapter, verse 21, 23. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best, because she stayed at home instead of going with him right after Samuel was born, because she didn't want anything to happen. Only let the Lord establish his word. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned. We know weaning back then was probably around 2-3 years old, probably around 3. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bulls, 1 ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. He was practically a baby. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. But this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. I bet Eli got filled up too, because I know I did when I saw that. And so as she gave her son over, she rejoices because God gave her the desire of her heart. She asked God. She got what she wanted, a child to come through her womb. Even though she gave that child back to God, she had her years of nursing and weaning with him. So I would say he's probably around 3 years old. And it goes on to tell us, no one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you. There, nor is there any rock like your God, like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumble are girded with strength. Those who were poor have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Come on now. Even the barren has borne 7. Hey, come on now. Did y'all catch that? Even the barren has borne 7. Complete. God gave her her children. And she who has many children has become feeble, which means that Peninnah probably became feeble. She's telling her story. The Lord, come on, let's keep it going, y'all. Woo. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts high. He rises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and makes them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. Can the church say amen? He will guard the feet of his saints. The wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and anoint the horn of his anointed. She didn't know she was prophesying over what her son would do, that he would be the anointer of kings. Hallelujah. And as we continue, it says, then Elkanah went to his house at Ramah, but the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. Now the sons of Eli were corrupt, and they did not know the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a 3-pronged flesh hook in his hand while the meat was boiling. Then he would thrust it into the pan, or kettle, or cauldron, or pot, and the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. For they did, so they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servants would come and say to the man who sacrificed, give meat for roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw. To him, they should really burn the fat first then you may take as much as your heart desires. He will then answer him, no, but you must give it now. And if not, I will take it by force. Totally went against the word of God. Therefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe, and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, the Lord give you descendants from this woman for the loan that was given to the Lord. Then they would go to their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. So he gave her what? Five children, five additional children to Samuel. So she had six kids. I thought it said seven. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. So I don't know if in the five sons, if it's include the five children, is including Samuel or not, but I believe it is not. So she had six children. And it goes on to say, meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Now, Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle meeting. So he said to them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. No, my son, for it is not a good report that I hear you make the Lord's people transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father because the Lord desired to kill them. And the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and me. Then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense and to wear an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of your father all the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people? Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I see it, indeed, that your house and the house of your father will walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be rightly esteemed. Behold, the days are coming that I will cut off your arm and the arm of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. And you will see an enemy in my dwelling place, despite all the good which God does for Israel. And there shall not be an old man in your house forever, but any of your men whom I do not cut off from my altar shall consume your eyes and grieve your heart. And all the descendants of your house shall die in the flower of their age. Now this shall be a sign to you, that how that will come upon your two sons, on Hophni, Hophni and Phinehas. Then one day they shall die, both of them. And I will rise up for myself a faithful priest, who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left in your house will come and bow down to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread and say, please put me in one of the preaching positions that I may eat a piece of bread. Chapter 3, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation, and it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call you, lie down again." And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel, at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He answered, "Here I am." He said, "What is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you, and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you." And then Samuel told him everything, and he had nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground, and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Samuel chapter 4. And the word of Samuel came to Israel. Now Israel went out to battle against the Philistines and encamped beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines encamped in Ephek. Then the Philistines put themselves in battle array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men of the army in the field. And when the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, and when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies." So the people sent to Shiloh, and that they may bring from there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni, Hophni, and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What does the sound of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean?" Then they understood that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp. So the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God is coming to the camp." And they said, "Woe to us, for such a thing has never happened before. Woe to us who will deliver us from the hand of those mighty gods. These are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and conduct yourselves, men, you Philistines, that you do not become servants of the Hebrews, so they have been to you, as they have been to you. Conduct yourselves like men and fight. So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated. And every man fled to his tent. There was a great, very great slaughter, and there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. Also the Ark of God was captured, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. Then a man of Benjamin ran from the battle line and came that same day and came to Shiloh with his clothes torn and dirt on his head. Now when he came, there was Eli sitting on a great on a seat by the wayside, watching, for his heart trembled for the Ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. When Eli heard the noise of the outcry, he said, "What does the sound of this tumult mean?" And the man came quickly and told Eli. Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were so dim that he could not see. Then the man said to Eli, "I am he who came from the battle, and I fled today from the battle line." And he said, "What happened, my son?" So the messenger answered and said, "Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there has been a great slaughter among the people. Also your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the Ark of God has been captured." Then it happened when he made mention of the Ark of God that Eli fell off the seat backwards by the side of the gate, and his neck was broken, and he died. But the man was old and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. Now his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, due to be delivered. And when she heard the news that the Ark of God was captured and that her father-in-law and her husband, she bowed herself and gave birth, for her labor pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman who stood by her said, "Oh, do not fear, for you have borne a son." But she did not answer, nor did she regard it. Then she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel because the Ark of God has been captured and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of God has been captured." Then the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when the people of Ashdod arose early in the morning, there was Dagon fallen on his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set it in its place again. And when they arose early the next morning, there was Dagon fallen on his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. They had a Dagon, and both the palms of his hands were broken off on the threshold. Only Dagon's torso was left of it. Therefore, neither the priests of Dagon nor any who came into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon and Ashdod to this day. The Lord had to show them, this ain't nothing but a piece of clay. Hallelujah. Don't mess with God. But the hand of the Lord was heavy on the people of Ashdod, and he ravished them and struck them with tumors, both Ashdod and its territories. And when the men of Ashdod saw how it was, they said, "The ark of the God of Israel must not remain with us, for his hand is harsh toward us and Dagon our God." Therefore they sent and gathered to themselves all the lords of the Philistines and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?" And they answered, "Let the ark of the God of Israel be carried away to Gath." So they carried the ark of the God of Israel away. So it was after they had carried it away that the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. And he struck the men of the city, both small and great, and tumors broke out on them. Therefore, they sent the ark of God to Akron, So it was as the ark of God came to Akron that the Akronites cried out saying, they have brought the ark of the God of Israel to us to kill us and our people. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, send away the ark of the God of Israel and let it go back to its own place so that it does not kill us and our people. But there was a deadly destruction throughout all the cities, and the hand of God was very heavy there. And the men who did not die were stricken with the tumors, and the cry of the city went up heavy. Don't mess with God. Don't mess with God. And some life lessons from today. The first is this coming out of the second of Samuel, chapter 4. And it says, let us bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that it may save us from the hand of our enemies. No religious artifact or ceremony, no matter how sacred, can rescue us. Israel's leaders thought that the Ark of the Covenant could save them, but it had no power to do so. God alone rescues. It's not the stuff. It's God. Samuel, learning to hear God's voice. As one of the mightiest prophets of the Old Testament, it's no coincidence that Samuel's first divine assignment called for him to learn how to hear God's voice, recognize it for what it was. As 1 Samuel 3:1-10 tells us, a young Samuel entrusted to the care of Eli the priest was lying down one evening when the Lord spoke. At first, Samuel didn't know who he was hearing. He thought Eli was calling him. But finally, after Eli told Samuel 3 times that he hadn't called, Eli realized that it was the Lord. So he instructed the boy to respond, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Are you having a speak, Lord, in your heart this morning, asking God to hear? Are you listening to his voice? Isn't that a beautiful way to answer God, speak, Lord, for your servant hears? We got to ask God, Lord, let me hear your voice. Eli taught Samuel how to listen to God, and Samuel became established as God's prophet. So when the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant and Eli and his 3 sons died, Samuel knew what to do, and Israel knew who to listen to in the midst of great turmoil. Samuel was able to hear the voice of the one he loved and served faithfully. If we're going to be men and women of God, we too must learn how to recognize God ever. We can't wait until the maelstrom strikes to do so. It's when we lie restfully in the quiet moments that we should turn our attention to God and say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Because it's in those tranquil moments that we can embrace the one who calls to us, and that he can teach our hearts to love and obey him. Speak, Lord. Ask God, and God will hear you. 1 Samuel 5:2, when the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon. This always just does something to me. The Philistines placed the ark of the covenant in the temple of Dagon to show that their God had triumphed over Israel's God. However, God shows himself phonetically strong and showed that he was the only true God in the room. Dagon was a piece of clay thrown on the ground. God didn't play. 1 Samuel 5:9, the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. The Lord wanted the Philistines to know that what had happened did not occur by chance, but that he had been behind it all. God desires that the whole world acknowledge his glory, and he wants to use us to display it. Praise the Lord, everybody. And let us go back into our New Testament word this morning while we have a little bit of time. And we are coming out of Luke chapter 20. That's where we read Luke chapter 20. We read Luke chapter 20. I'm so sorry. We are going to Luke chapter 20, starting at verse 27. And it says, and then some of the Sadducees, who deny that there is a resurrection, came to him and asked him, saying, teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies having a wife, and he dies without children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers, and the first took a wife and died without children. And the second took her as a wife, and he died childless. Then the third took her, and in like manner, the seven also, and they had left no children, and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife does she become? For all seven had her as wife. Jesus answered and said to them, sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are counted worthy to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, nor can they die anymore, but they are equal to the angels and are sons of God. Counted worthy, equal to the angels, is what we are when we are resurrected. And it says, and our sons of God being sons of the resurrection. But even Moses showed in the burning bush passage that the dead are raised when he called the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For all live to him. Then some of the scribes answered and said, teacher, you have spoken well. But after that, they dared not question him anymore. And he said to them, how can they say that the Christ is the son of David? Now David himself said in the book of Psalms, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore David calls him Lord. How is he then his son? Then in the hearing of all the people he said to the disciples, beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, in the best places of feast, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These will receive a greater condemnation. And it goes on to say, these will receive a greater condemnation. And Dr. Stanley says in his life lesson, just as a faithful believer will receive greater rewards than those who disregard their divine assignments, so God's judgment will fall more severely on some than others. Each will receive what he has earned. Whew. We reap what we sow, y'all. We reap what we sow. So love today, 21 verses 1 through 19. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. But she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. Then as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations, he said, these things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. So they asked him, saying, teacher, but when will these things be, and what sign will there be when these things are about to take place? And he said, take heed that you not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he. And the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. Can y'all hear me? Do not go after them, because this is our time. You hear it all the time, somebody claiming to be the resurrected Christ. Liar. Liar. I'm saying it again. Liar. And Jesus has told us. He said, take heed that you not be deceived. But many will come in my name saying, I am he, and the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified. What's going on now? For these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. Did y'all catch that? So don't let somebody tell you, well, it's coming right now. No, he just told Jesus, just told us in his word, it will not come immediately. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places and famine and pestilence, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Whew, it's happening. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before the kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Hallelujah. Therefore, settle it in your heart not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. But I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost by your patience possessing your soul. By your patience possess the soul. You got to be willing, ready, and able, knowing that a time is coming where people of God, true people of God, will be prosecuted because they're going to speak out against the false, against those that are using the name of Jesus to do harm and hateful, evil things. We got to start looking up and knowing that he is God. All we got to do is ask God. Whatever it is you need, ask God. Whatever you're going through, ask God. Ask God for all things. Get on your knees and ask God. Psalm 54:6, I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. What does it mean to freely sacrifice to God? It means that we willingly and gladly put something precious of ours on the line for God, knowing that it all belongs to him and that we can never outgive God. Hallelujah. We can never outgive God. Luke 21:13, Dr. Stanley's life lesson. It will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Just as the imprisonment of the Apostle Paul turned out to be divine opportunity to testify to the gospel of Christ, Acts 9:15, Philippians 1:12. So God will use persecution to make his word known. Luke 21:18, life lesson. Not a hair of your head shall be lost. Jesus said that though his followers might lose their lives for his sake, yet not a hair of their head will perish. He meant that nothing was left up to chance or accident, and that he would always remain in control. You got to ask God and speak to the Lord. Whatever your situation is, give it to God. Before we get out of here, I have a couple of a psalm and a proverb. And the psalm is Psalm 54, verses 1-7. To the chief musician with stringed instruments, say me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God, was they asking God. Give ear to the words of my mouth, for strangers have risen up against me. The oppressors have sought after my life. They have not sent God before them. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil, cut them off in their trees. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye has seen its desire for my enemies. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 15:12-13. A scoffer does not love one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. We got to understand that God is in charge of everything. And when we go to God, we go with an open heart, with an open mind, with an open spirit, ready to receive. Just ask God, whatever it may be, just ask God. And as we go to this morning, a word for my sister in Christ and a word for yesterday, as we talked about Hannah this morning. It says, good morning, pray. I pray that whatever is overwhelming you right now be removed. I speak the peace of God to comfort your heart and mind in Jesus' name. Amen. And she told us to have a super Saturday. Again, gotta go to God. Ask God. And this morning's word is, our faith in Jesus sets us apart from what we used to be and makes us new creatures in Christ. Have a spiritual Sunday. And as always, we have added a new word to our arsenal. And it is a prayer for the day. And the word for this morning is this, a glimpse. Surely there is a future and your hope will not be cut off. Proverbs 23:18. It says, God of all my days, in you is my hope. In the midst of challenges, I need the reminder that the story isn't finished. You're not done with me yet. I believe that where you are is where I find the strength I need to keep going. When I'm tempted to give up and call it quits, fill me with your grace that empowers me to cling to you. When circumstances move and shake my life, I realize that you are the only sure thing I have. Keep me steady in your love and give me eyes of faith that see the future that my weary mind cannot dream of. You are my portion, Lord, and you are more than enough. You both strengthen and satisfy. Breathe your life into me again today, reviving my soul to catch a glimpse of the goodness in store for me. And our word to live by this morning and to think about is this. What hope did you have for the future? And I ask you this. Did you ask God? And that is our word for this morning, family. If there is anyone that has a word or need to speak, God has just put something on your heart that you just got to get out. If you have not dialed 213-943-3597, please do so. And if you're on the line, all you need to do is push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. Hallelujah. What a word this morning. Thank you, God, for the word. And again, I just say as we wrap up, just ask God. Whatever you need, just ask God. Whatever you need, ask God. I'll say one more time. Whatever you need, ask God. Father God, we thank you for this day. And Lord, I pray. Pray every day. May the Lord watch between me and you while we are asking one from each other. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, I pray over you and yours that God will watch over you, that God will bless you, that God will take care of you, that God will lead you to his house and to his home, that you will know that you are wrapped in his loving arms. In the name of Christ Jesus, I lift you up. Those that listen live, those that listen later, I ask God to bless you now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, family. It is, as we say, I'm moving forward. It's a wrap. Why? Because we got to go to work. And where do we work? We work in the house of God. It's time to go to church. But as always, remember, Bible believing, Bible teaching. Bible believing, Bible teaching. If they don't open the word of God, then what you do, take yours and walk out. In Jesus' name, I ask God to, again, watch over all of you. Be blessed, family. It's a wrap.